This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The sugya that we're dealing with, 11 lines from the top of Beis Amud Beis, focuses on the use of the word shalosh rather than shalosha. Shalosha being a masculine form, shalosh being a feminine form. In Hebrew, every noun is either masculine or feminine, and the adjective that qualifies or describes that noun follows the same gender as the noun itself. And we're going to see why the Gemara is so concerned about the use of the word shalosh as opposed to shalosha, whether it's just about grammar, which it isn't. The Gemara doesn't really concern itself with grammar when there's no deeper lesson involved in it. And the point that I was about to make about Lashon HaKodesh, the difference between Lashon HaKodesh, the Hebrew language, and any other language, is that any other language is created and designed as a form of human expression. It's a way for people to communicate one with the other. But Lashon HaKodesh was created before there were even human beings. The world was created in Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh is a framework within which the world is created. So Hebrew goes far beyond being a tool for communication. We didn't make it up by some form of national consensus as a method of communicating with one another. We learned Hebrew from Hashem. We learned Hebrew starting with the beginning of time and through the Torah. We learned Hebrew from Hashem. This is Hashem's language. And as such, everything in Hebrew, in addition to being a form of communication, also teaches us something, or usually, almost always, teaches us something quite deep and profound. And certainly when it's used in the Torah, we need to try to the best of our abilities to identify what that is that the Torah is teaching. So when the Gemara goes into this whole issue of masculine, feminine, and so on, and we'll see as we go through, this is not just an analysis of appropriate grammar for the Mishnah to use. It's trying to penetrate to the depth of the meaning that the choice of particular words and their gender brings about. So the use of gender in Hebrew is, again, not just some grammatical quirk. It doesn't make it makes sense really to have gender, although other classical languages also follow the route of having a gender. But it makes more sense if a language is just a mean forms of communication to have it as it is in English, to have it all neuter. In Hebrew, that's not so. Everything's by gender, and there's a message to be learned in the gender of the words used. Now, with that, let's go into the sugya. So the Gemara says, "Umay ayirya detani sholish litni shlosha." Why does the Mishnah start with the word sholish, which is a feminine form? Surely it should start with the word shlosha. Now, let's pause there. I would think the logical reason that the Gemara is asking that question is because otherwise the grammar doesn't look right. If you look at the Mishnah, Ha'isho niknes b'sholosh derochim. Derochim appears to be a masculine form because it's ending, the yud mem in the plural is generally a masculine ending. Now, of course, we know that in Hebrew that's not always not always so, and sometimes the spelling of a word is misleading. And you can have a word that is spelt in a feminine form that is really masculine, and you can have a word that is spelt in a masculine form that is really feminine, but that's unusual. So I would think what the Gemara is asking is derochim, we assume, means is masculine. So why doesn't it say shloisha drochim? That would be the easiest way, the correct way to put it, if derochim is in fact masculine. Interestingly, that neither Rashi nor Tosfos explains the Gemara's kashya that way. Rashi says, my time at Tani Sholish, if you look at the Rashi, a few lines above where we are in the Gemara, my time at Tani Sholish, Mishum Drochim Kamris, you assume that it's because of Drochim, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong Rashi, go all the way up, let's just leave aside the Rashi. Sorry, let's go directly into the Tosfos at this point. The Tosfos on Litni Shloisha says Tosfos Perush Mishum Dechol HaTorah Kulo Beloshon Zochor Neemra. The reason that we're asking the question, says Tosfos, is not because Derochim is masculine, which is what we would have thought would have been the obvious reason for the question. No, says Tosfos, the reason we're asking the question is that the whole Torah is stated in masculine. That doesn't mean, of course, that there never is a case of a feminine form in the Torah. Of course not. What it means, though, is when we're talking general, when we're talking male and female, we talk male, and male covers male and female, so that we don't get into the kind of thing that we're getting into the English language now of changing the word chairman to chairperson, because a chairman implies masculine. And that's not so in Hebrew. When you want to cover male and female, you cover male. When you use female, it's specific to the female identity. And so Tosfos says, since generally the Torah is written in the masculine form, unless there's a reason to write it in feminine, so here too it should be written in masculine form, and it should say shloisha derachim, which seems to imply that the Gemara knows that the word derech could be either masculine or feminine. And we do have many cases, Tosfos is going to cite a few of them, where there are words that are sometimes used in the masculine form and sometimes used in the feminine form, and they're able to bear both genders. Derech is one of those. Derech is sometimes masculine and sometimes feminine, and it's clear from Tosfos' explanation of the Gemara, which is different to the one that I propose as being the simple one, that the Gemara knows that derochim is not a masculine noun. If the derochim was a masculine noun, Tosfos wouldn't have had to give us the reason he did. Clearly, Tosfos is telling us the Gemara knows that derochim can be either masculine or feminine, and since it could be either, we should follow the style of the Torah, which is when it could be either, use the masculine form unless there's a specific reason not to. So that's the question of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, quite a strange answer if that's the question. The Gemara says, Mishum de koboi lemisni derech. The reason is because the Mishnah wants to use the word derech specifically. And we'll see further on why it specifically wants to use the word derech. The derech losher in the kevo, and derech is a feminine form. Udichtivis it says, V'hodat Elohim is haderech yelchu bo. You shall teach them the way on which they shall go, and the on which bo is the feminine form. It doesn't say bo with a vov, it says bo with a hey, which makes it very clear that derech is feminine form. Now, what is the Gemara suggesting? Is the Gemara telling us that no, derech is feminine, it's not masculine, it can't even be both, it's specifically feminine, or is the Gemara teaching us it could be either? But we know that. And the Gemara goes right into ask, V'elohad etanya b'shivo drochim boitkim es hazov, nitni sheva. So let us say, then in that case, asks the Gemara, we have a brisa that that teaches us. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's not a brisa, it's actually a Mishnah, that teaches us that there are seven ways in which to be boidek azav. Just very brief background. We're not going to go into a lot of detail of the cases that are brought in the sugya that don't bear directly to our sugya. But the case with a zav, very briefly, is that in the case of a male, certainly during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, tuma would occur in the case of the emission, certainly of semen. It would be about keri. And there's a case of zav, which is if there is an emission of some other substance which has no sexual connotation at all, then that creates an even more serious state of tuma, and that's called tumas hazav. So for tumas keri, there's a one-day state of tumah. For tumas hazav, there's a seven-day state of tumah. We need to check in the case of a zav as to what the cause of that emission could have been. If there is any external cause or any sexual cause for it, then we assume that he's a balkeri and not a zav. Or maybe not even a balkeri, but at worst a balkeri. If, however, there is nothing external that we can attribute the cause of the emission of the substance, then he is considered a zav, and he has a full-length tumor term. And there are seven different areas that we need to be bodek, that we need to check seven different areas to see could they have been responsible for that particular emission. We use the word derech in that Mishnah, and derech there is used as in the masculine form. Beshiv or drochim, not besheva drochim, beshiv or with a hey at the end, implies beshiv or drochim. There's seven ways in which we we check the Zav. Nisni Sheva, let's use the feminine form, answers the Gemara. Mishum de Kaboy le Misni Derech, Vashkechan Derech de Ikri Loshon Zacher. Well, again, same question. There again, the Mishnah specifically wants to use Derech. And Derech is sometimes in the masculine form. Diktiv Bederech Echod Yetsu Elecho Uveshivo Derochim Yonusu Lefonecho. They will come out, they will come at you as a united force, talking about our enemies, and in seven paths they will flee from you. And there we say shiv or in the masculine form. So you see that Derech is used masculine. So we get completely confused. What is the Gemara actually saying? If we knew in the beginning that Derech could be either masculine or feminine, what has the Gemara actually added? The Gemara simply told us that Derech can be masculine or feminine. So let's just relearn the process here so that we get the principle right. And this is how I suggest that we learn it. The original Havamina is Derech is equally masculine or feminine. It could be either. It is sometimes used masculine. It is sometimes used feminine. Asks the Gemara, in that case, since it could be used for either, the right thing for the Mishnah would be to use the masculine form because that covers both masculine and feminine, and the whole Torah is generally in the masculine form if there's not a reason to be a negative. So it should say Shloisha Derochim. Answers the Gemara with an interesting chiddush in language, and that is Derech is not equal masculine and feminine. There are some words which are 100% masculine and can only be used in the masculine form. There are some words which are 100% feminine and can only be used in the feminine form. And there are some words which are 50-50. They could be used either in masculine or feminine form. And now the Gemara's Mechadish, a new type of word, which is a word that has a primary gender and a secondary gender. That's the Chiddush of the Gemara here. So when the Gemara comes along and says in the first answer that Mishum de Kovoy Lemitni Derech, the Derech Loshon Nekevoch he, and Derech is feminine, that means the primary usage of Derech is feminine. We must always assume, by the way, that when the Amiroim, certainly the Tanoim, are discussing an issue, you can assume they know the whole of Tanakh, that it's as if laid out in front of their eyes. It's in our terminology, it would be like having a computer with a fantastic search system, and while they're having this conversation, they're pressing Derech, and all the cases of Derech come up, and Derech masculine, Derech feminine, and all the cases come up. So we must assume that they know, the one asking the question, the one answering the question, they all know every posuk in the Torah in which the word Derech appears, and they know absolutely that Derech is sometimes masculine and sometimes feminine. That's why Tosfos tells us that's not the question. The question is not an assumption that Derech is masculine. We know Derech can be both. The chiddush in the answer is that there's a primary for Derech, and the primary for Derech is feminine, and the secondary for Derech is masculine. And the proof is Vodat Elohim es HaDerech Yelchubo. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then we should understand every time it uses in the masculine. Up until now, we've only thought we need to question the feminine, because if a word is 50-50, then the norm is to use the masculine, and the feminine would be the exception. So when the feminine is used, as in the case of our Mishnah, we should question it. Now you're telling me in the case of Derech, feminine is primary. If feminine is primary, then there must be a reason when we deviate to secondary. Why then in the case of Zav are we deviating to secondary? Answers the Gemara, because there are cases where the Torah deviates to secondary for specific reasons, such as Bederech Echod Yetzu Elecho V'Shiva Drochim Yonusu Lefonecho. Notice also, if you will, that the word Ashkechon is used here, which it wasn't used in the first one. Just compare the two answers. In the first case, a few lines up, the Gemara answered, that's a statement of fact. The Mishnah wants to use the word Derech, and Derech is a feminine word. That's a statement of fact. It is feminine, meaning its primary source is feminine. The second answer, it says, because it wants to use Derech in the case of Zav, the Ashkechon Derech Ikri Loshon Zocher. And we find that there are cases where Derech is Zocher, where Derech is masculine. Ashkechon, it doesn't say that as a state of fact, Derech is Ashkechon. No, Derech is masculine. No, Derech is feminine. The Ashkechon, we find means you've gone searching. If you search for reason, you'll find answers, you'll find it. So in the usage of the word Ashkechon, the Gemara is teaching us that when we do deviate to masculine, there's a reason for that masculine. And we've got to try and probe that reason and understand what the Torah is trying to say. And the place where you see the Torah deliberately deviating to secondary gender is Bederech Echod Yetzuel Echod V'Shivad Rochim Yonusu L'Fonecho. Now the Gemara says, Ihochi Koshu Kroi Adodi V'Kashinami Matnitin Adadi. If that's the case, then both the Psukim and the Mishnahs pose a difficulty to us because they contradict one another. That means sometimes the Mishnah uses masculine, sometimes feminine. Sometimes the Torah uses masculine, sometimes feminine. The Ritva mentions, and many others, that the words ihochi in this piece of Gemara are difficult. Ihochi means if so. In other words, if based on what you've just told me, we have a contradiction between the Mishnahs and a contradiction between the Psukim. Asks the Ritva and others, but that's not so. This isn't based on what you've told me. In any event, we have a problem. You could have asked this question without any preceding Gemara. You could just have said, there's a Mishnah in the beginning of Kiddushin that says that uses derech in the feminine form, and there's a Mishnah in the case of Zav that uses the word derech in the masculine form. The Gemara could have said there are psukim in the Torah that use derech in the feminine form, and the psukim in the Torah that use derech in the masculine form. What's going on? It doesn't have to say ihochi, implying that the reason that we have this problem is what you've just taught us. But if you learn the way I've suggested, and that is that what the Gemara has been mechadish something. The Gemara has been mechadish that derech is primarily feminine and secondarily masculine. Had the Gemara not told us that, we would have gone along believing that derech is a 50-50 word, sometimes masculine, sometimes feminine. If it's a 50-50 word, you don't need to go researching as to why the Gemara or the Mishnah or the Psukim choose to use masculine or feminine. You can use either and it makes no difference. However, once you tell me that derech is primarily a masculine form, then I've got to say that there is good reason when the Torah uses the feminine form, and I need to probe what that reason is. That's the ihochi. Ihochi, if that's the case, we now have a problem. Koshu kroi ha'adoti. Then I've got to understand why the feminine is not always used, why the masculine is sometimes used. V'kashinami matnitin ha'adoti. And I have the same problem with the Mishnah. If primary usage for drochim is feminine, then I've got to probe when the masculine is used, and I've got to understand that. So the Gemara goes on and says, you're quite right. Kroya adari loy kashu, but they're not a kashu. We can resolve it. We can explain why it is that we use the masculine form in some cases and the feminine in others. Hocho debe toiro koi. In this one case, meaning the first posuk that has brought, v'hodato lo hemes aderech yelchubo, you shall teach them the way by which to go, that's talking about Torah. But Torah ikri loshon nekeva, and Torah is a feminine form. Dichtiv Torah Hashem temimo mishivas nofesh, as it says, the Torah of Hashem is perfect. It nourishes the soul. It settles the soul. It brings rest and tranquility to the soul. It refreshes the soul. Refreshes is probably the best translation of mishivas nofesh. Kosav lo beloshon nekeva. So since Torah is feminine, The Torah writes derech, referring to Torah in a feminine form too. It contextualizes it, and it contextualizes it into the feminine form, which is an important part of that particular passage. Awesome, but in the second pasuk where it says bederech echod yetsu elecho v'shiva drochim yonusu lefonecho, they'll come at you in one path, and they will flee from you in seven. To be milchomer koi, we're talking about war. Darko shel ish la'asos milchomo, ve'en darko shel isho la'asos milchomo, kosov lo beloshon zochor. And since it is the norm for man to wage war and not for women to battle in war, it uses the masculine form of derech and not the feminine form of derech. In other words, there is a reason, staying with the psukim meanwhile, we'll do the mishnayos in the next piece, but as far as the psukim is concerned, we have said derech is primarily feminine. That being the case, we don't really need to give a reason as to why derech is used in the feminine form in the case of Hodato Elohim Es HaDerech Yelchubo, because that's the primary form of derech. Really, we only need to give a reason in the second case, which is the case of Milchoma, B'derech Echad, Yetzu Elecha, V'shiva Drochim Yonusu Lefanecha. Why does the Torah deviate from the normal gender of Derech, from feminine to masculine? Explains the Gemara, because we're talking about war, and the Gemara wants to teach us that it's Darko Shil Ish La'asos Milchoma. The norm is, and we'll talk about that word norm a little bit further on in the Gemara, because that's really what Derech means. The norm is for men to wage war. It's not impossible for women to do that. If women are embattled and the only way out for their pikuach nefesh is to wage war, they will wage war. And we've had cases where Devorah was involved in battles and in war. So it's not something that cannot happen. It's just not the norm. It's normal for men to wage war. It's not normal for women to wage war. And that's something the Torah teaches us. This, by the way, we don't have to get into a whole discussion about that, but it gives some kind of context to the enormous religious, social, and political battle that took place in the early years of the State of Israel about the question of religious girls going into the army. And there were many reasons for the opposition of the Gedolim of that time, the Briskerov and the Chazanish standing at the head of that opposition. But there was a very united front against girls going into the army. Even going in any form, even going in for what today is called Sherut Leumi, where the girls wear army uniform, they go into the army, do some basic training, and then go out and do chesed work. They work in communities, teach, nurse, whatever it is that they're put to do. Even that was opposed, and there were many, many reasons for it. But this is part of it. It's not feminine. It's not a thing for women to do to go into the army. It's not a thing for women to do to go into battle. And that's something the Torah is teaching us by deviating from the primary use of the word derech when talking about war and converting it into the masculine form. It's teaching us that it is the derech of men to go into war and not the derech of women. Once we've done that with the masculine, the Gemara does it with the feminine form as well, although we don't really need a reason for the feminine form because that's its primary form. There is, in fact, a reason. There is a contextual reason, and the Gemara takes the opportunity to teach us here the feminine nature of the word Torah. Although, as we'll see in Tosfos, there is a masculine nature to the act of learning Torah, the essence of Torah has a feminine form and is often referred to in Tanakh, in Mishlei, and other areas, is often referred to in the feminine form. And the Maharsho here, there's a very beautiful Maharsho which you could look at afterwards. The Maharsho here, in fact, questions why we bring a proof that Torah is feminine from a posuk in Tehillim of Torah Hashem Temimum Meshivas Nefesh. We could have brought it from the Torah itself, V'zois HaTorah Asher Som Moshe. The pasuk we say at the end of Kriyas HaTorah every time we read the Torah. V'zois, we don't say V'zeh HaTorah, we say V'zois HaTorah. And that's a verse from the Torah itself. Why not use that verse? And the Mashah answers very beautifully because the Gemara is trying to explain to us not only that the Torah is a feminine form. We don't need an explanation for that. What the Gemara is trying to teach us here is why the Torah is a feminine form. And it's because of its capacity to be meshivas nofesh. Just as a woman can nourish and refresh a child by feeding the child and the child being able to suck from the woman, so we're able to be nourished from our attachment to Torah in much the same way as an infant is nourished by his mother. And there's that element of Torah that Gemara wants us to understand. That there's something nourishing, there's something refreshing in the act of Torah, which we must try to access during the process of learning the Torah. So look what beautiful depth we're coming to just by exploring the usage of a particular gender of a word in the opening phrase of a Mishnah. The Gemara goes a little further. Mas nisin ha'adadi lo kashyan. The Mishnahs also are not a problem one to the other. Hachod legabi isho koi. Here in our Mishnah, the subject, the context of the Mishnah is a woman, and that's important, that the whole subject of the Mishnah is a woman. Although a man does the act of Kiddushin, the man is the person who does the Kinyan, but the whole Mishnah is worded from the woman's perspective. K'tani lo b'loshon nekeva, we choose the feminine form, and once again, there's no reason to justify the feminine form, because the primary use of derech is feminine. The Gemara, just for stylistic reasons, goes and explains them both. But hosom de legabi ishkoi, But in the case of Zav, we're talking specifically about a masculine problem, a male problem. The darko shel ish li bodek v'en darko shel isha li bodek, because this aspect of ziva applies only to a man. Although a woman can be a zavo as well, she too can have that same tumor, but she doesn't have the need to check as to what the cause of the ziva is. In her case, it makes no difference what the cause is. The ha'isha nami ba'onis mitama, because now even if there's an external cause beyond her own physical body that caused the ziva, that caused the emission in the case of the woman, she's still tameh, so it makes no difference what the cause was, and therefore there's no reason for that bedikah. One doesn't have to check oneself. And therefore, tani loshem zocha, since that Mishnah applies exclusively to a man, the Mishnah uses the male form and not the female form. So that's the first piece of the sugya. Since there's a specific reason to use the word derech, the Mishnah wants to use the word derech, chooses to use the word derech, mindfully chooses to use the word derech. It therefore needs to use sholosh, which is the feminine form, because derech is primarily a feminine noun. And in addition to that, the Mishnah is following the fact that the Torah often uses derech in the feminine form. However, there are cases where the Mishnah chooses the masculine form, such as in the case of Ziva, just as there are cases in the Torah when the Torah chooses a masculine form. The Torah chooses a masculine form when the context is masculine and wants to teach you something about that. So just as the Torah uses the masculine form of derech when it talks of war to teach us that it is the norm for men to go to war and not women, so the Mishnah uses derech in the masculine form when it talks about Ziva to teach us that the bedikah of a zav, the checking of a zav to establish the cause of the ziva, is something exclusive to a man and not something that applies to a woman at all. Let's have a look at two tosfos, and really the one I probably won't do just for the sake of time, because I do want to get as far as we possibly can in the Gemara itself today. But you can have a look at the next Tosis, which is Koshu Kroya Adodi. The first part is Tosis says there are many cases of word, of nouns that are sometimes used masculine and sometimes the same noun is used feminine, and the Gemara does not analyze why. And then the Tosis says at the end, he gives two answers. About five lines from the end of Tosis, he says, Mihu heichod ikili shinuya mishaninen, uvikroinami yeshum drosha. Where you can answer it, you answer it. There's not always a reason, but you have a look, you check. If there is a reason, you question the reason. And even in the psukim, there's sometimes a drosha, there's sometimes something to learn from it. Tosfos probably isn't learning the way we've learned, the idea of a primary and a secondary meaning, because then Tosfos probably wouldn't have that question. Where there's a 50-50 masculine-feminine usage of a word can really be used either masculine or feminine, and it makes no difference. There's no reason to question. Where, however, there's a primary usage and the Torah or the Mishnah deviates from the primary and opts for the secondary, there we have to question what's going on. That's how we would answer it. Tosfos doesn't seem to answer that way. I did find that the Ritvo learns the way that we've learned. So there might be a Machlokes Ritvo and Tosfos. Tosfos might learn that there's not this chiddush in the Gemara, that in fact the Gemara goes with the view that derech is a 50-50 word. It could be used either way, in which case Tosfos would have a difficulty with the word ihochi, because then the question of the Gemara of derech is not specific to what has preceded in the Gemara, and it's not really ihochi, it's not if so. If this is what you're teaching me, now we have a contradiction between the Mishnahs and a contradiction between the Psukim. According to Tosfos, it's a contradiction in any event. And in fact, Tosfos probably then goes with the Rishonim, who remove the words ihochi. And if you'll notice in the Dibur HaMaschil of Tosfos, in the opening phrase that Tosfos quotes from the Gemara, he doesn't quote ihochi, he just says Koshu Kroya Hadodi. So Tosfos might be of the school of thought that ihochi needs to be from the wording, and that it doesn't say that we don't read ihochi, we just read koshu kroya hadodi, because the reason that there's a difficulty has nothing to do with what has been explained before. The Ritvo, however, rejects that, keeps the words ihochi in the girsa, and says that the, as we've explained, ihochi is dependent. The whole questioning of the use of derech in the masculine form is an outcome of our having established earlier that derech is primarily of a feminine form. But the interesting one is the next tosis, or the one that's interesting to us at this time. Hocha de betoiro, toiro ikri loshen mekeva. Here we're talking about toiro, and toiro is in the feminine form. Asks tosis. Vim toima milchoma nami ikri loshen mekeva. The word milchoma is also feminine. If we're going to say that we're following, that where the adjective, well, in this case, derech is not really an adjective, but where a sentence is built around a feminine noun, we use the feminine forms, and where it's built around a masculine noun, we use the masculine forms, then milchoma, war, is also a feminine word. Dichtiv, as it says, v'tichbad ha-milchoma el-shol, v'tosef oed ha-milchoma. We've got cases where it uses v'tichbad, v'tosef, those are feminine forms for the word milchoma, so clearly milchoma is feminine. V'oed, and furthermore, exactly as the way that you've just said, that the reason we use the masculine form for milchoma is because it's the way of a man to wage war, not a woman. Is it not the way of a man to learn Torah, not a woman? A woman is not chayeves b'Torah. She doesn't have to learn Torah. So we could answer exactly the same way. So Tosfos is asking mimonoshach, either way. If you're following the grammar of the primary noun in the sentence, then both Torah and Milchoma are feminine, and Derech should be feminine in both cases. If you want to say that you're following the context and the meaning and the message of the sentence, then just as we're taught that, well, just as Derech is used masculine when relating to Milchoma, to teach us that Milchoma is fought by men and not women, so Derech should be used in the masculine when referring to Torah, to teach us that men learn Torah, not women. So either way, it should either be consistently male, masculine, or consistently feminine. Answers to this: V'yesh loma deloy dami, d'hocha b'tora gufikoy. You can't compare it because the pasuk about Torah, when it says v'hodata lohem es haderech yelchu bo, it's talking about Torah itself. The derech is the Torah, the way of the Torah. Kori akosav b'loshen derech. It's the Torah which the pasuk talks about using the word derech. It's not talking about the people who learn. It's talking about the Torah itself. And the Torah itself is feminine. But when it says that they will come at you, they'll go out towards you on one derech, in that posuk, it's not talking about the milchama, about the idea of war. It's talked about the soldiers, the people who are battling in war. And that's men whose way it is to wage war. So Tosfos starts off with saying, in a sense, milchoma and Torah are the same. Both are waged by men, and both are female nouns. So either go by the noun and have everything female, or go by the context and have everything male. Notice this, Tosfos. The one posuk in the case of Torah, you're right in saying that both are female nouns, and that in both cases the people active in the milchoma and the Torah respectively are men, but the one posuk is talking about the people, and that's masculine, in the case of milchoma, and the other posuk is talking about the object itself, which is Torah, and that's feminine. That's why there's a difference. Very interesting, we have the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia. You remember we had them before, and I pointed out that they were quite modern in their approach, so to say. It was the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia who objected to the word niknes in the Mishnah, the idea of acquiring a woman. That's not dignified for a woman to be acquired. Yet the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia says a fascinating thing. He asks the same question as Tosfos, but gives a very different answer. He asks, "Amaylo neima ken darka shilish lilmud Torah, v'haveli lemitni loshen zocher." Just as in Milchama we use the masculine form of derech because men wage war, so we should use the masculine form for Torah because men learn Torah. That was Tosfos' question. But Tosfos answered the way he answered. The Tosfos Chachmei Anglia answered differently. Yesh loma, the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia say, "De noshim nami havi darkam lilmud, ilav de mimatin lehu lekamon." Women are just as suited for the learning of Torah as men are. The only reason women don't learn Torah is because there's a specific posuk that we learn further on in this very Masechta on Daf Chof Tes, the Gemara works out from Psukim, some of the Psukim in the Shema, the Gemara works out that a mother is not obligated to teach a child, a father is, and that's partially because a mother is not obligated to learn herself, but a father is. And the Gemara goes and works it out in a beautiful sugya that there is no chiyuv Talmud Torah for a woman. A woman is not mechuyevis. She's not obligated to study Torah. Says the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, but that has nothing to do with the derech. From derech means the norm. Derech means what they're able to do, what's normal. It's not abnormal for a woman to learn Torah. It's just that the Torah says she's not chayevis. She's not obligated to. So Tosfos seems to hold that it's not the norm for women to learn Torah. And it's really, really interesting because in the whole question of whether women should learn Gemara or shouldn't, I've often taken the view that for women to really learn Gemara the way men do and battle an issue out and argue things out in a chavrusa and stand on their opinion and attack the opinions of others, what we call milchamto shel Torah, the battle of Torah, which is part of the way one learns Torah, I've often argued women can do that. Sure, they can do that, but it damages their femininity if they do that. It's not a feminine thing to do. And therefore, if women are to learn Torah, they should learn it in a different way. They should learn it in a more feminine way than a man learns Torah. And Tosfos Chachmei Anglia are saying, yes, but in that case, there is a way that women can learn Torah which is perfectly natural to them. And there's no reason to say that the learning of Torah is a more masculine activity than it is a feminine activity. It's absolutely normal for women to do it as well. The reason women don't need to learn, or the reason that women don't learn, is not because it's not suited for them. It's not because they don't have the capability. It's not because they're not as good at it as men are. The only reason is because we have psukim that says she doesn't have a chiyuv, and that's the reason. But it is darkom. There's no derech reason why not. The word derech is not talking about chiyuv. It's talking about norm, almost a natural law, as we'll see in the next piece of Gemara, that derech is just a natural law. And there's a natural law that men go to battle, not women. There's not a natural law that men learn Torah, not women. That's not a natural law. That's a gzeras hakosuv. Were it not for the posuk, a woman would be as chayevis as a man would be, because she's as able to and as suited to learning as a man. That's what the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia says, which is, as I said, quite a modern viewpoint. Let's go a little bit further. At least let's get into the next piece of Gemara. I was hoping to finish it, but we might not manage. Let's see how we go in the next few minutes. So the Gemara says, okay, we've established that if you use the word derech in the context of our Mishnah, it's appropriate to use it in the feminine form, and therefore to say sholosh and not shloisha. Nevertheless, asks the Gemara in the second fat line of the Gemara, my time etani sholosh mishum derochim. So what have you just said? That the reason you have to say sholosh is because of the derochim, because of the word derochim, nisli devorim. So why use the derech? What is so specific? What are you trying to teach us with the word derech when you could use the word devorim? Ha'isha niknes b'shloisha dvorim. There are three things by which, or three actions by which a woman can be niknes. And you don't need to go through this whole issue of drachim. We could avoid the whole thing. And on that, Rashi says, in the my time etani sholosh mishum drachim ka'amris, the reason that sholosh is there is only because of the word drachim. In that case, litni dvorim v'nitni shloisha. Let's use dvorim and let's use shloisha, the masculine form, because dvorim is 100% masculine. It's never used feminine. Ki urcha di gemara. And then it would be much more consistent with the way of the Gemara and the way of the Mishnayos, where we generally start off a masechta and there's a number involved, we'll generally use the masculine form. Answer the Gemara, mishum deka, on the third fat line. Mishum deka boi lemisni bio uvio ikri derech. The reason is because one of the kinyonim referred to in the Mishnah is bio, is sexual intercourse. And bio is called a derech. And if we just pause here for a moment and try and understand what then is the Gemara translating derech as, what does it mean by the word derech, so as to give this sense to it. And here I would say that here derech means process. In this piece of Gemara we'll see that there are two facets to the word derech, two kind of sub-meanings to the word derech. The one is, you know, the major meaning is just a way. There are three ways by which a woman can be nicknamed. And on that, the Gemara says you could have said dvorim just as well. So let's go into a deeper meaning of the word derech. Derech is a pathway. Derech is a roadway. And therefore, I would suggest that the one sub-meaning of derech is a journey, a process. Derech is not just a thing. It's not a once-off act. Derech is a process. And the other meaning of derech is like derech eretz. It's a natural law. It's just a law that the world is founded on. It's a natural law of the world, like gravity is a natural law. So there are other derochim that we can discover, patterns of behavior that are built into the Bria. Those are the two meanings of the word derech. That being the case, the Gemara starts with the one meaning of derech and says, since Bio is one of the kinyonim we're referring to, the Mishnah wants to teach us that Bio, the sexual relationship between a man and his wife, is not an action. It's not a thing. It's not a transaction. It's a derech. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a way of being. And we get that from a pasuk in Mishlei, Tichtiv, as it says, "V'derech gever ba'alamo ken derech isho mena efes." The way of a man with a woman, and then in the next pasuk, so also the way of an isho mena efes, a woman who is unfaithful. It's a very beautiful couple of psukim there in Mishlei, where Shlomo HaMelech says that there are certain things that he sees but doesn't understand, or he sees the beginning and then the meaning kind of evades him. And he gives examples, he says, of the eagle that flies in the air, and it doesn't leave a path behind it. Once it's flown and taken off, you can't see where it's come from. You can't see how it got to where it is. If an animal walks through the bush, you can see its pathway. You know how it got there. But when an eagle flies in the sky, you don't know how it got there. And a snake on a rock, you can't follow its path. You just see it moving. You don't know where it came from. And a ship on the ocean. Also, you find it finds itself on the ocean, or you find it in the ocean. You don't know where it came from. It doesn't leave a pathway behind it. And so also, he says, in the case of the relationship between a man and a woman, there's secrecy as to how it comes about. You see the consequence afterwards. You can see a pregnancy afterwards, but you don't know how and when it all came about. It doesn't leave anything before it. But be that as it may, twice Mishle uses the word derech there, teaching us, says the Gemara, that the relationship to the sexual relationship between a man and a woman is a derech. It's a process. It's a journey. It's not just something one-off. Says the Gemara, Hotinoch Bio. That's okay for Bio. Kesef Ushtar Ma'ikil Meimer. What about Kesef and Shtar? There are two other kinyonim that have nothing to do with Derech. Answer the Gemara, Mishum Bio. You're right, but because of Bio, we use the word Derech. Ask the Gemara, Vatani Tarti Atuchado. So out of the three, there are three for which the word Dvorim could suffice, and one for which the word Derech is better. Surely we should use Dvorim for the majority? Answers the Gemara, Hanach Nami Tzorich Bio Ninu. Now, Bio is more than just one of the three kinyonim, says the Gemara. Bio, the sexual relationship between man and his wife, is the reason for which the other kinyonim take place. The reason there's kesef and the reason there's shtar is that the man and the woman can have a sexual relationship. If they just want to talk to each other, they can do that without a kinyon. The reason that they have a kinyon is to facilitate the possibility of intimacy. And therefore, everything revolves around the intimacy. And the intimacy is a derech we need to know. Intimacy is a way of life. It's a way of being. It's a journey. It's a process. It's ongoing. And that's why it is. They're all called derochim. And this is one of the sources. David Klinghoffer, you asked in an email where I get it from that the kinyonim are not one-off. That kesef, shtar, and bio is something ongoing in a man-woman relationship. A man has to be koine his wife every day of their marriage, apart from the fact that intuitively that sounds right for anybody who's experienced it. What is the source? And I said that there's a Reb Shimon Shkop that works around that, but here in the Gemara itself, the idea of derech implies something ongoing. Dovah would be a one-off kinyan. And that's how I learned this very Gemara here, that the Gemara exploring why the use of derech rather than the use of dvorim. If it would say dvorim, then it's three kinyonim you do at the time of the kiddushin, and that's the end of it. The kinyon is done the same as any other kinyon in the world. No, these kinyonim are called derochim. They're not called dvorim, because these are processes. These are journeys. This is something that's ongoing. It's not something which is one-off. I think we're going to have to leave it here. We'll finish off the next piece, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, next week, and move on to the new section after the two dots. So I do want to get involved in the next piece of Gemara that goes till the end of the next Amud, the first line or two of Gimel Amud Beis, if we can manage that far.